Chapter 4. A Voyage to Brobdingnag. Being an active and restless person, only 2 months after my return to England, I left again, for I wished to see foreign countries. I sailed away on a ship headed for India. The voyage was good until we passed Madagascar, when some strong winds began to blow, continuing for 20 days. We were carried very far to the east, until the oldest sailor on board could not tell what part of the world we were in. On the 16th of June, 1703, we discovered land. The captain sent 12 men in a boat to the land to look for fresh water to drink, which we needed. I went with them in order to see the country. The men searched on the shore to find some fresh water near the sea, and I walked for a while alone. I soon began to feel tired, and seeing nothing interesting, I slowly returned to where I had left the men. To my surprise, I saw that the men had already got into the boat and were rowing quickly back to the ship. I was going to shout after them to wait for me, when suddenly I noticed a huge creature walking quickly after them in the sea. He was in the water up to his knees and was taking giant steps, but the monster was not able to catch the men. Full of fear, I ran as fast as I could up a hill, from the top of which I had a view of the country. The length of the crag surprised me, for it was about 20 feet high. I found a wide road, or so it seemed to me, passing through a field of corn. The corn was as tall as trees. Suddenly I saw one of the inhabitants crossing from the next field into this one, the same size as the man I had seen in the sea chasing our boat. He appeared as tall as a church steeple, and took about 10 yards in each step. I was terrified and ran to hide in the corn. I saw him turn his head to look behind him and call out in a voice as loud as thunder, after which 7 monsters like him came towards him with scythes in their hands. These people weren't as well dressed as the first, and they seemed to be his workers. He spoke some words to them, and then they went to cut the corn in the field where I was. I stayed as far away from them as I could, but their steps were so huge that it was nearly impossible to stay very far ahead of them, as they cut the corn. Soon they were very close behind me. Exhausted, full of grief and despair, I lay down in the dirt and believed that I would end my days there. I sadly thought about my wife in England, who would soon become a widow, and my children fatherless. I regretted my own foolishness in attempting a second voyage against the advice of all my friends and family. I thought of Lilliput, whose inhabitants thought of me as the greatest being in the world, where I was able to capture a whole kingdom's warships in my hand and do lots of other things that would be recorded forever in the history books of that empire. I thought about how humiliating it would be for me to appear as unimportant in this nation as one single Lilliputian would be among us in England. One of the workers came very close to where I lay, and I was sure that with his next step I would be killed under his foot. When he was about to move again, I screamed as loudly as I could. The huge creature stopped, looked around for a moment, and then noticed me as I lay on the ground. He picked me up between his finger and thumb and held me up to his eyes. I tried not to move as he held me in the air about 60 feet from the ground, although he painfully pinched my sides. I placed my hands together and spoke some words in a quiet and gentle tone, for I feared that at any moment he would throw me onto the ground, as we usually do with any little horrible creature. But I was lucky. He seemed to like my voice and gestures and looked at me with curiosity, amazed that I was speaking, although he could not understand me. He put me gently into his coat pocket and immediately ran with me to his master, the man I had first seen in the field. The farmer looked at me carefully. He put me softly on the ground, and I walked slowly back and forth to let the people know I did not want to run away. I took off my hat and bowed to the farmer. He tried to speak to me, but I couldn't understand anything he said. I answered as loudly as I could, in several languages, and he often lay down and put his ear close to me, but without success. We couldn't understand each other. He put me in his pocket and carried me home to his house. He called his wife and showed me to her, but she screamed and jumped back, as women in England do at the sight of a toad or a spider. However, when she had watched my behavior for a while and seen how polite and friendly I was towards her and her husband, she was no longer afraid and even began to like me. A servant brought in dinner, and the farmer and his family sat around the table. The farmer put me on the table, which was about 30 feet from the floor. I was terrified and stayed as far as I could from the edge to keep from falling off. The farmer's wife cut up a bit of meat for me and crumbled some bread and put it in front of me. When dinner was done, the farmer went out to his fields and left his wife to take care of me. I was very tired, which the woman noticed, and she put me on her bed and covered me with a clean white handkerchief. I slept about 2 hours. When I woke up, I lay for a while resting. Suddenly, two rats crept up the curtains and ran backwards and forwards on the bed. One of them came up almost to my face, and I jumped up frightened and pulled out my sword to defend myself. They attacked me on both sides, and one of them grabbed my collar with its front feet, but I stabbed my sword into its belly before it could hurt me. It fell down, and the other one, seeing what had happened to its friend, tried to escape, but I managed to cut it on the back with my sword as it ran away, making its blood flow. These creatures were the size of wild pigs and extremely fierce. If I had not kept my belt and sword on me as I slept, I surely would have been torn to pieces and eaten. I couldn't drag the rat's body off the bed, where it still lay bleeding. It was too disgusting. When the farmer's wife came into the room, she was shocked to see me covered in blood and quickly picked me up and held me in her hands. Then she told the maid to pick the rat up and throw it out the window.